from Containment Center, hashtag FF7239, formerly known as Keithley. Welcome to the correctly sprayed Don't Let's Chart with patient 110429FJK2, Ben Baker. And the late...
How dare you?
Unlamented!
How dare you? I was on time.
I was watching Top of the Pops the other day and he said, the late Roy Orbison. I'm like, come on, Roy, it's Top of the Pops, set your alarm!
Good.
Yes, excellent. Is that enough topicality for this intro bit?
It's as much as I can stand, certainly.
Ladies and gentlemen, so let's chat. And welcome to another Don't Let's Chat with me, Ben Baker.
And me, Phil Cattrall. Ben, have you washed your hands?
Yes, I've washed my hands while singing the theme tune to, I don't know, let's say Joint Account.
I've been going with Toss a Coin to Your Witcher because that's stuck in my head most of the time anyway.
This might date this episode in the future, but then again, we might not have a future. Who knows? There's more important things right now to talk about, and that is 8th of March is International Women's Day.
Hooray!
You notice there was no subtlety between coronavirus and Women's Day.
Women get coronavirus as well, Ben.
There you go. There's the link we needed. So we've looked at stuff which links in important history-defying women of history. And has anyone been born on this date that fits that bill, Phil?
No, it's just Cheryl Baker, Ben. That's all we've got.
Cheryl Baker, brackets, no relation.
As far as you know.
Now, of course, when you think Cheryl Baker, what's the first thing you think of?
I mean, I think of Eggs and Bacon.
Exactly, as do I. Most people think of Bucks Fizz, yeah. Obviously, the last month part of video, which is basically, have you got depression? Stop having depression, you dick. Seriously, Google the new Bucks Fizz video.
How did that video work for you, Ben?
Surprisingly enough, not massively keen. But yeah, Eggs and Baker, her early Saturday morning before going live series, which mixed her doing like recipes with bands in the studio and sort of celebrity guests and stuff.
And audience interaction, I think, as well. I'm fairly sure there was audience
interaction. Yeah. See, everyone remembers going live and live and kicking. Even people remember like Parallel 9.
I remember Parallel 9. It was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, the Tony said, I remember Parallel 9, and you didn't really need to finish the sentence.
It was really bad. It got two series as well, didn't it? It was like...
It did. But we felt it was a bit obvious doing a Saturday morning thing. But I've always been interested in those shows that were on before 9 o'clock, especially in the 80s, because back in the 80s, my parents, for some ungodknown reason, decided they wanted to do their shopping at 8 o'clock. So we'd be generally home about 9:15. And that meant I'd look at the radio time and look at the things that were missing going, what's that? That sounds good. Oh, that's... I mean, there was a lot of Muppet Babies. That is not in this list. So we've decided to put together a list of the top 10 pre-going live / Saturday morning magazine show programmes. What's our number 10?
Number 10 is Roland's Rat Race.
Let's meet today's team, shall we? Kevin, would you introduce your team, please?
Certainly, Roland. My team are from Sheffield and consist of Scott Atkinson, their team's know-all, Cassandra Hargreaves, Reeves, their pop fan, and Wayne Bates, the team's rat fan.
Hello, Sheffield. Reggie, introduce your team, would you please?
Bullseye, rubbish!
Yes, thank you, Reggie.
Double dare, rubbish!
Reggie!
Me! Raftains!
I mean, I know Roland Rat went to the BBC. I know that, but he's never in my head a BBC thing. He's TVAM. That's where he goes.
Yeah, well, this is the interesting thing. Obviously, Roland Rat was big on TVAM, and then the BBC poached him quite controversially and gave him bang at the start of the Saturday night programme schedule, like 5:30, 5:45-ish. Was on before the best Doctor Who series, Trial of a Time Lord. So it wasn't a great time for BBC.
It wasn't.
So it didn't rate very well. So the second series was on like Friday tea times. And then they went, It's just Saturday morning. Just stick it. Just get rid of it.
Yeah. We've paid all this money. The capsule description here says it's him starring Roland Rat as the circuit race marshal as two teams battle it out to clock up the greatest distance on their milometers. See who will be first past the checkered flag this week. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't points, it was miles, but there were points. So
what are points? And what do points make?
Nothing.
At nine.
At nine. Hallo Spencer from 1992 and is apparently a German children's television series.
It was indeed.
I have no recollection of this.
Oh, you see, our listeners to earlier podcasts will have heard me talk that we had Sky from a very early
indeed
sort of time. Because there were so few channels, you would find yourself watching the German channel just out of like, oh, look, it's the A-Team in German or whatever like that. And one of the things that was on regularly was Hallo Spencer. And I know it was called Hallo Spencer because it has a giant sign behind him saying Hallo Spencer. Hmm. And of course, in Germany, it's just saying hello to a man called Spencer.
Yeah.
But because that sign's in shot in everyone, they had to rename him here Hallo Spencer. So his name is Hallo Spencer.
Right.
Very confusing. But it's basically, it looks Muppety, but it's not. But a lot of the people came from the German Sesame Street.
Oh, okay.
Sesamstrasse.
Well, that would make sense.
I think it was on Sundays before it moved to Saturday mornings. But it was very odd. It was like, wouldn't you know it's not in English as its first language? I did watch some before this episode, and you can tell. Because they're like talking over each other almost to get the words in.
They just had a difference of opinion.
Oh, really?
I'm sure they'll work it out.
You think so? I certainly hope so.
Well, not me. There's nothing I'd like to see better than a rip-roaring fight.
That's mean, Grumpo. How could you say such a thing?
What was that?
I meant to say Grumpowski, but that still wasn't very nice.
Oh, boy.
At eight.
At eight, Ovid.
Now don't tell some Ovid video.
I remember it being called Ovid Video rather than just Ovid.
I think that's just because of the theme tune.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. I just remember that it had the word Ovid and then it turned around and it said video.
Someone smacked the O.
Yeah.
And it became, and it moved to the other side of the name.
I don't remember any content from it. I can tell you that. I remember it existing. And I remember what Ovid was.
Yeah, he's a platypus, isn't he?
He's blue. I remember him being blue.
Yeah, with a little hat, I believe.
If you tell me he's a platypus, I'll believe you. I have no reason to doubt you.
It's got a beak.
Yeah. Could have been a duck. Could be a platypus. Don't know.
Yeah, I just remember the baddie being a purple snake.
Sure.
Called Psy.
Yes. Apparently the villains are called Psy and Bobo. Funny things happened and villains were thwarted.
Yep, yep. And we remembered all of it.
Nope. But it was definitely on.
Well, it's seven.
Seven. Right. Chuckle Vision.
Chuckle Vision.
But like the weird early version of Chuckle Vision.
Ah, yeah. When I talk about the programmes that I wanted to watch the most when we were shopping, Chuckle Vision sounded fascinating to me. Do you remember this early version?
I don't really. The version of Chuckle Vision I remember is, I think, the version most people remember that involved the Chuckle Brothers, usually in one of those pedal car things, going to a place, being instructed to look after something. And then immediately damaging the thing. And
then immediately failing, yes.
Yes. And somehow they spun this out for a couple of decades. Fair play to them.
Yeah.
Fair play to them.
At one point it was the longest running British comedy program.
Yeah.
Might still be, as far as I'm not sure. But yeah, the first two series were were all studio-based. Mostly. There were little film segments, kind of sketches, but especially with them going, hello, today's subject is so-and-so.
Right.
And then they do lots of sketches and bits about that. And
opera is a wonderful thing. There's been some marvellous music written for it. Carmen, La Traviata, La Boheme, Madame Butterfly.
Hey.
Yeah, I was just telling everybody about operas, like the Barber of Seville.
Oh, I've seen him on Jim Will Fix It.
Oh.
Jimmy Savile. I never saw his barber, though.
No, Seville's in Spain.
I went to Spain.
Forget it.
I can't, I enjoyed myself.
They might do the odd, make and stuff, and this magician would turn up and do something, Simon Lovell. And then they'd cut to Billy Butler, who Liverpool listeners will have immediately winced at hearing the name of. He's beloved in Liverpool, but not by anyone I've ever spoken to. he said they hold your plums and all that. But yeah, he's just like a Jack and Ori's kind of section in him.
Okay.
Just reading a short story. It's not Chuckle Vision. And the weird thing is, I looked up how old they were when Chuckle Vision started. And I think it said Paul was 40 and Barry was 43.
And that was in 1987.
Yes, that's when that first series
good
started.
Lord.
Fair
play to them. I mean, they kept going until what the...
I think it got cancelled in about 2009-10-ish.
Yeah.
But obviously they continued repeating them for ages.
Yeah. That's been going for longer than many of your viewers have been alive, lads. That's...
I have viewed your chuckles from afar, and now the time is to cease.
And you've even had that...
Cease, chuckle, cease!
You've had that game show as well. Good grief.
And of course, the Chuckle Brothers did famously meet me. Of course.
I mean, I think you're misusing the word famously.
Don't understand. Don't understand. I met the Chuckle Brothers with one of our pastry pals, actually, Jonathan Sloman, who went to an audience with, hosted by our friend Louis. It was a lot of fun. It was really good fun. And of course, we remember them as the Chuckle Hounds before.
That. I'll be honest, I do not remember them as the Chuckle Hounds.
You don't remember the Chuckle Hounds?
No.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I don't know why I said that like that. It's outrageous. I'm not bothered, to be honest with you. They were there in dog costumes.
Of course it was.
Like
an original pilot for Dog Police or something. Yeah.
The Dog Police, Police, Police.
It's not how it goes, Ben. You've done it wrong.
I'm not.
I feel on International Women's Day, we are probably devoting too much time to the Chuckle Brothers.
All right, call me by the six.
Six. The little apostrophe bits.
The little bits.
Oh,
I
God.
I think that's about as I'll remember. No,
now
no,
you've said
that's
that.
That's about as much remember.
Now I remember it. I was thinking, what's this? I don't remember this.
More Japanimation, really. Yeah.
We got it in 1993, and it was produced in 1980. Good work.
And all I remember is all the characters' names ended in bit.
Yeah. Lilibit, Willibit, Snagglebit, Browniebit. Oh, and Chip, because, you know... Awkward sod. It is about a race of tiny people who live in a simple village in Foothill Forest. And it focuses on a group of children that we've already named. I'm not saying it again.
Drill bit.
A Japanese Smurfs is what it is.
Just what everyone was asking for. A Japanese Smurfs.
Yep.
God. Number five.
Number five, Mersey Tales.
Yeah, see, I did not remember this at all. I had to look it up. I was good when I was researching this. And yeah. It's that man, Billy Butler, again, once again, reading stories. But it's just like, basically, just in a locale reading a story and that's it. Roger McGough read his own story a few times, apparently.
Okay.
As Billy Butler. But the most interesting of all of the Mersey readers was Sonia.
Okay.
I suppose if I'd said name someone from Liverpool who was famous in 1989.
I would have eventually got there.
Nice.
Oh,
four.
God. No. Kissifer.
You try it, pal. Smash your face.
I remember this monstrosity. It was a bear who joined the circus. Yeah. And then they went to a swamp. Do you know what? I remember it existing, but it was so tedious that I still have it like half confused with Teddy Ruxpin in my head, even though I know those things are different.
It kind of fits in the same window as the raccoons in my head.
Yep.
That kind of, I need to learn a lesson and someone needs to, you know, teach someone something.
Oh, morning, Dad.
I do believe I asked you to clean up your room, son.
Dad.
And after school... I do believe you're going to set the table, take out the trash, put your toys away, and bring in some firewood.
Oh, but Dad, Garth and I are going to build our new clubhouse today.
Sorry, little bear. Chores aren't always fun, but they're how we get things done.
Yeah, there were some bears that escaped from the circus and went to some swamps.
Some swamps.
And
according to the capsule here, Kissifer and his father use the skills they have acquired from the human world to create a boat tour business, transporting other animals and their products down the river. Interestingly, no one further down the river questions that a pair of bears are operating a boat tour service for other animals.
Yeah, well, as up road, there's a fella with a Hawaiian shirt on and a biplane.
Look, That was not on the BBC. You cannot bring that into this.
No, but the bear ferrying services were definitely in the boon in the late 80s, early 90s, clearly. That was, if you need anything transported, it was like, well, it's obviously going to be a bear. So, look under B in the yellow pages. Number three,
McGee and Me. Don't remember this. It's...
This is the follow-up to Whizbit, obviously, where Paul Daniels... No,
it was a series follow... It was The Incredible Hulk, but rebranded. It followed the journalist McGee instead of the Hulk.
Cool reference, bro.
Hey, sod off. It was as good as yours.
I don't understand it, so I'm saying it's good. What was McGee and Me? I do not remember.
It was an American Christian television series, so each half-hour-long episode centres on Nicholas, his cartoon friend McGee, and the moral lessons they learn as Nick grows up after moving to a new town. So it deals with issues such as honesty, bullying, and faith in God.
I can't believe for a second the BBC were allowed to put that out.
In 1993.
Also, I love the fact Nicholas and his cartoon friend McGee. You know, that requires no further explanation. It's like, you become a Christian, you sign the papers, you do the dunk your head and all that, and you get your cartoon friend.
Yep.
that's how you know someone's converted. Apparently. If there are any Christians listening, cool. I mean, that's it. Again, this program has never been about hate or division. It's just been about going, what the frig is that? And obviously, the freight services of ursine creatures.
Look, how else is a tiger, for example, going to get his shipment from a place to another place? How is he going to do it, Ben?
I'm curious what he's shipping.
I can't remember enough about Talisman to tell you what it was that Shere Khan was shipping. I do remember he had a very snazzy suit. I remember that.
So let's say heroin and move on to number two.
Breakfast cereals. I remember this one a bit. It was a bunch of different cereals. Was it just 1990? I seem to remember there was a couple of
series. Yeah, it was only one. No, it's only one series of it.
Oh, okay. So it had like six different cereals. So you had the kitchen, which was like talking kitchen appliances, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, it was a tomato, a teapot and a tin, I think. And they were kind of the links in and out of these little sketch slash scenes or whatever, little dramas.
Cheapo TV, which was apparently parodies of old TV shows.
Parodies, yeah.
Zounds, which it says here is dance slash odd jokes, which is...
It felt very much like the other stuff at the Edinburgh Festival that you go, no thank you, I'm trying to get somewhere. That kind of act.
Okay. Runners, which was a drama. Don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it's kind of a sci-fi thing.
Okay. And then finally, the one that I do remember, Nice Chap, which was about a comic artist woman who drew a character called Nice Chap and then he came alive and did things. I remember there was one where she drew some nasty eyebrows on him and he became nasty when he came alive.
The evil one's gone, but Nice Chap's a cartoon again. Oh, I never even got a chance to talk to him or tell him.
She's getting all soppy again now.
Norris!
It's, of course, famous because it was written, mostly at least, and produced by Russell Davies.
Never heard of him.
Before he'd upgraded to some tea.
Before he became Russell the Davis.
Yeah, Russell T. Davies is, he moved the this and Why Don't You about the same time. Where he'd sort of put sci-fi strands in and stuff. And
This is pre-Dark Season, isn't it? Which was like... Russell T. Davis writing Doctor Who, essentially.
Yeah, it's a very interesting series that a lot of people hold in very fond regard. And what would their opinion be of number one, the toppest pre-going alivey, kickingy typey thingy, magazine showy thing?
Well, as number one is Tales of the Rodent Sherlock Holmes, I suspect their opinion is not complimentary. So this is 1990. I just went and checked. Roland Rat started on TVAM in 1983. By 1990, there was no reason for there to be a Roland Rat show anywhere. This is for no one at this point. Never mind making a costume drama with Roland Rat at this point. Good lord.
If I say Roland Rat as Sherlock Holmes, Kevin the Gerbil as Watson, you've got it in your head already. Yeah. You can see it.
I've got it enough that I don't need anyone to actually make it. That's...
Life with the world's greatest detective is just one piece of excitement after another. Not a day goes by without some adventure or another taking place. Watson, do stop muttering now. Have you or have you not got Mrs. Drip, the shower curtain fitter's wife? No, I haven't, Holmes. Sorry. Now then, have you got Mr. Pew, the flower arranger? Yes.
Barbara Wynn's is in one.
Okay. So that's...
Rodney Bewes is in one.
Oh, bless him. I like Rodney Bewes.
Bernard Breslau's in one.
Oh, bless him.
But as everyone remembers, Roland Rat, I'm going to finish with his classic catchphrase. Hey, trains fats.
I thought his catchphrase was "Ow, ow, stop hitting me, ow."
Oh yeah, yeah, that cricket bat.
That cricket bat.
There are some places in this world.
I can't see you back there.
Where a pretty girl should never walk alone.
But I can feel you.
Unless her name is China O'Brien.
She's one of them chop suey fighters.
Well, I feel we've learned a lot about nothing. Literally nothing. And in fact, I'm not entirely sure for International Women's Day there are any women included.
Yeah, we had Cheryl Baker. She was at the start.
Yeah. In my youth, going to video shops, you could not move for videos of Cynthia Rothrock, born today in 1957.
She is the face of a certain section of every video shop for me, with films that would be cool, things like Blood Fight and Punch Woman.
Well, yeah, it does actually say on Wikipedia, a successful career in B-grade action movies.
Yep, that's exactly what they were.
Guardian Angel, Honor and Glory, No Retreat, No Surrender 2, and China O'Brien. That was her probably most famous leading role.
Ah.
As we're in the video shop and we're talking about Cynthia Rothrock, it's time to play this week's game. Play your VHS certifications right!
Of course it is. Of course it is. Will Simon Bates be along to help me with this? Or
Simon Bates? No. Sorry, Simes is otherwise unavailable. He's in a... I don't know. Let's say Glasgow. Checking out sexual swear words.
They have quite a lot of them in Glasgow.
And so, let's understand... So what I've done is I've been down to the video shop,
yep.
And I've picked up at random 10 VHSs.
I'm liking the phone.
We're
going to
start with China O'Brien, that Cynthia Rothrock classic. We're going to start with that. I'll tell you now, that's an 18.
Right, okay.
So is your next one going to be higher or lower than an 18?
Right.
And the next video is... 5 stars, Luxury of Life video selection from 1985. Is it higher or lower than an 18?
I'm going to say that is lower than an 18, Ben. I'm going to...
Correct, well done. Although, amazing it's even a you. Next. Who's That Girl? 1987.
I believe that would be higher than a you, Ben.
The life of upright tax lawyer Griffin Dunn turns chaotic when he's asked to escort a young woman, brackets Madonna, from the last minute of the Like a Prayer video, who's nearly out of prison. It's a PG.
PG.
So the next one, is it going to be higher or lower? Come on, ladies and gentlemen, shout out, even if you're on a bus.
Especially
right.
Especially if you're on a bus.
Witchboard, 1986. When his girlfriend, Tawny Kitaen, becomes dangerously obsessed with a ghost, Todd Allen reluctantly joins forces with his ex.
Yeah, just from that name being involved, that is higher than a PG, Ben.
That is a 15 there certificate we fail. Well done. Next. Next. Cousins in Love, 1980.
I am going to assume higher than a 15.
Tendresse Cousines, English, Tender Cousins, or Cousins in Love. It's a 1980 French film by David Hamilton, presumably not that one. With the outbreak of WW2, the sudden call to arms will send the men of a family's estate to the front, leaving a curious adolescent alone with the remaining women of the house in search of a warm embrace and possibly a daring kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an 18. It's an 18.
Okay.
The next one is Rainbow Bright, Magical Girl Rainbow, the Mighty Monstro Merc Menace.
Well, that's obviously that's unrated. That was banned by the BBC. Now that is lower than an 18.
That would be a U, yes. Feel the Heat, 1987. A narcotics officer goes undercover in an attempt to bust a drug lord and his operation. The assignment involves the ability to participate in a certain breast-altering operation to smuggle the goods.
Right, so to be clear, I have to determine if this drug smuggling breast enhancement film is higher or lower than a U. And there is only one rating lower than a U, and that is a UC. I'm going to go higher, Ben. I'm going to go higher.
Yeah, it's an 18. apparently, it was originally called Catch the Heat in America, not Feel the Heat.
Right.
That's very different.
Sure.
And you'll be pleased to know the lead actress was Tiana Alexandra Siliphant, who played that classic character, Checkers Goldberg.
Sure.
Idiot. Tugs. Now, this could go either way.
Now, I know what this is.
Sadly, it's the one about anthropomorphized tugboat fleets. Yeah. From the makers of Thomas and Tank
Engine. Yeah, this is slower.
That's a U. That's a U. Next, there's only two left. Oh, God. Up Your Anchor, 1985.
What's it about, Ben?
When two geeky repressed men join the Navy, they set out to remedy the lack of sexual fulfilment. It becomes a mad pursuit with Benji chasing the captain to free his daughter, Huey chasing girls, Alberto chasing Huey, presumably Alberto Frog from Bod, and two jewel thieves chasing Alberto for his milkshake. With laughs in every pot.
I'm going to guess that is a higher rating than animated series Tugs.
I never even said that, actually. I got all these off eBay. These are all off eBay, all 80s. And you're pleased to know that one's £12 buy it now. But you will have to be 18 to buy it.
Yeah.
It's an 18 film. The Lemon Popsicle, if you remember that being a thing.
No.
Yeah, they were moving on. Right, this is it. You've done 9. You only got this one to get, and you win all the beans. And in fact, tonight's prize is all of the beans in the world.
Wow.
Including Mr. Beans.
I'll be honest, Ben. I'd love to win it, but I have storage concerns.
Oh, dear. All right. You can have all of the hand wash.
I don't want it. I just wash my hands with soap. Why is this so difficult for people to understand?
Right. You ready?
Yes.
The BBC Video Book of British Garden Birds, 1981. Is it higher or lower than an 18? I mean, come on, ladies and gentlemen, shout out.
It's got to be lower. It's got to be lower.
Get stabbed.
It's got to be lower, because unless, you know, people are actually, you know, molesting the birds on camera or something, it's going to be lower.
And the answer is... Oh, it's a pre-cert video. There was no certification. You lose, and that contains the end of Play Your VHS certifications, right?
You are the worst. You are the goddamn worst.
Here are 5 of your favorite friends, Barbie, Nick, Skipper, Alan, and Ken. But if you think they're the same as they've always been, you'd better take another look. Better check them again. Now you can see that they've all acquired a brand new look that Barbie inspired. Designers call this the Barbie look, this great new fashion look. And these bendable legs really look so natural, and the way that they move is so lifelike that you'd really be amazed at all the things they can do, and the way that you pose them is up to you. You can sit them on a sofa or the edge of a bed, or you can make them sit right on the floor instead. They can cross their legs and relax a while.
Oh, God, I mean, that wasn't even very female-based either. back. Have you got anything? Make this a little bit more respectable for International Women's Day.
I've got a list, but it is not going to do us any further favours in that regard, but it is literally all I have.
Okay.
So in 1959, the Barbie doll made its debut at the American International Toy Fair. So that's the thing. So what I've got is 10 of the rarest Barbie dolls that you can't find anymore.
I will start at 10.
Coca-Cola Barbie. This was from 1998, and it is Barbie with a waitress outfit and a tray with some Coca-Cola bottles on.
Oh, so she's subservient as well as Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. Good times.
And according to the description I found, it's very popular among collectors due to its uniqueness, even those who drink Pepsi. So, you know.
Peppers. Yeah, great. I'm smashing. I drink Dr. Pepper, so I must only use Boglins.
Wait. Use Boglins. You know what? Forget I asked. Let's move on.
This is just a social thing. I can quit anytime I like.
Let's move on.
Nine.
Flashlight Fun Stacy.
That's one of the pre-cert films, I think, from the previous list.
I mean, it's essentially, I don't know what relation Stacy is supposed to be to Barbie. I assume a younger sister or something. She's got a torch.
Eight.
Original Midge. Just because of that name. And secondly, so she's from the Happy Family series, which started with Midge's wedding to Alan and ended with baby Nikki's first birthday. So there we go. Midge's wedding to Alan. So someone made a doll called Alan. I've just given a double thumbs up to my microphone. That's what I think about that.
Out of interest, is the doll bald?
No.
So it's a hairy Midge.
You are the worst. You are genuinely the worst, and I will have no truck with it. Shall we move on?
Seven.
Totally Hair Barbie. Shut up.
Do you remember the USB of Barbie? She had some hair.
Well, this one had very long hair that went all the way down to her ankles and came with a tube of hair gel. So, you know. Well, why is that my catchphrase when I have nothing to say on something? So, you know, like, somebody else fill in gap here.
I don't know why you don't have more insider information on the Barbie. At six,
Frida Kahlo, Inspirational Women Barbie.
What?
It's a really good likeness of Frida Kahlo.
Really? Yeah. It's a Barbie doll?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Well, yeah. Well, apparently after it got released, relatives of Kahlo took out an injunction basically banning sales of the doll in Mexico.
Wait, did they even get permission first?
Nope. And there's been lawsuits since. Well, I mean, I guess the argument is that she's not alive anymore, so she can't...
She's public domain. Yeah.
You know.
But even so, like, asking the family just seems like a basic decency.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When you're going to mass produce the late... You know, family member.
Indeed.
In great quantities.
But wow. Again, it is a good likeness.
At five, Gertrude Stein.
The first Barbie from 1959.
The one that was at the toy fair.
Yes.
You just can't imagine the time before. Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah, so the original one had apparently holes in the bottom of her feet, and the second one had solid feet. So if you think you might have an original one, just check for those holes in the feet. A mint condition original one was sold at auction for $27,450.
Four!
Number four, Marie Antoinette Barbie.
Did the family sue on that one?
No, would you like to guess what year they did a Marie Antoinette Barbie?
Would it have been the bicentennial?
No, there's nothing. It was 210 years after she died. It does not say whether the head detaches easily. It's not clear on that point.
So I should have said bicentennial and 10. And then that classic anniversary we all celebrate.
Yeah, everyone remembers that classic Robin Williams film, The Bicentennial and Ten Man. That is what it was called.
Who knows? No one's ever got to the end of it.
I've read the book, and I read enough of the book to go, I don't want to watch a film of this. No.
Three.
Number three is De Beers Anniversary Barbie.
What, the diamond piece?
Yep. So it was commissioned in 1999 by De Beers to celebrate their 40th anniversary. They made one of these. It had 160 real diamonds on it, and it sold at auction for $85,000.
Please tell me it was for a good cause, at least.
It doesn't say, but, you know, given it's De Beers, I do not believe it was for a good cause.
No. Presumably, number two is the Nestle baby powder. No.
I mean, you're sort of in the ballpark. So number two is the I Can Be Caregiver Barbie from 2010. Mattel did a You Can Be Anything Barbie series. It had, you know, pilots, athletes, skateboarder, fairy princess, and also this one, which comes with shrieking baby, a high chair, and some kitchen utensils. The baby will drink water and wet itself, and Barbie can lift the baby.
I guess I understand what they're doing. It's like it's a perfectly valid role to be a housewife or mum or whatever. But
I am viewing it in the same sense as I did Transformers Action Masters when they were a thing. Because they were Transformers that didn't transform. So it's one of these where the question is, yeah, but why? Rather than anything else.
I thought you were going to say, like, that Transformers one where they were all chartered accountants for some reason.
I mean, what would they turn into? Like a calculator? Or... Oh, I kind of want one of those now.
And before his drool consumes us all, number one, the most rare, unusual Barbie is...
Growing Up Skipper from 1975. So, this is a doll that could grow from a young girl to a teenager in seconds by rotating her arm.
What?
So you rotate her arm and she grows an inch taller, because that is the difference between... Between a young girl and a teenager, it is an inch, apparently.
Oh, I can't get to see that cinema. Hold on, wind my arm up a bit. Right, can I come in now? Well, yes, obviously, you're a teenager now. Please, do come in and watch the film Crash.
There are so many issues with this as a concept. I don't understand.
Come in and watch Existence.
This is from 1975, Ben. They're not watching Existence.
All right, come in and watch the Sunshine Boys. I don't know.
Jaws. I've just Googled it. Dog Day Afternoon. You can watch Dog Day Afternoon now because you've rotated your arm.
Smashing, yeah. Oh. And as the rotation of my arm seems to show, we're out of time for this week.
Have you been like holding your arm up like the countdown clock and gradually rotating it around?
Yeah. I am now 12 foot in the air, and I'll be honest with you, the neighbours are starting to complain. So it's probably a good time to finish this week's episode. As we say at the end of everyone, and we mean it, if you are, thank you all to everyone who shares, tells people about the podcast. It means a huge deal.
It does.
And people who support us on Patreon, patreon.com/dotletschat, we get two extra episodes every month of us talking about all sorts of stuff in a more sort of chilled pace. So, until next time, I have been a cousin in love.
I've been... an arm rotation.
Goodbye!
Bye.
Checkers Goldberg.
No one has been Checkers Goldberg.